it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
15-minute mark on the Fan. Coming up on that, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Sunny today with a high of Greg Warren at 60, a low of 40. Myron Bell. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Tyler Kennedy across from me this morning, as he is every Thursday from 10 to 11. Our special guest, Matt Cook, Tyler's former linemate, Stanley Cup champion here. Tyler, before you guys get back into it, the whole Don Cherry story is drawing a lot of reaction from our listeners and texters. And Matt, did you ever run into Don Cherry again? Did you guys ever make peace, or was that interaction pretty much the last one with you guys?
One and done.
One and done. Fair enough, Tyler.
That was there anyone? I have two questions, but was there anyone that before the game or a couple days that you, what was the guy that you were a little bit nervous to play against, a guy that you hated, a guy that you circled on the calendar like, this is going to be a game that this is going to suck, but I got to do it? Is there any guys like that you not that you feared, but you worried about?
I mean, I think there was
half the league,
late '90s, late '90s. Like it was a different game, and I hated Colorado because footy made my life miserable. Like the guy he used a wooden stick that I think was still a true 2x4, and like it didn't matter how many times he cross checked you, the stick would never break. Like you could never get away with that now because the graphite would just shatter. Like there's just moments in time, you know. Chris Pronger's another guy, and I wasn't worried about fighting those guys. They just made your life like hell, you know. Obviously, I had a few run-ins at Derek Boogaard, Matt Johnson. Like, you know, there's guys out there. Matt Johnson's probably the worst because it was like a 7-game saga where, you know, the first game we played them in Minnesota in 2000, I hit him, and he was in D zone coverage, and I hit him against the boards, and I didn't even hit him that hard, but kind of the way that his body rattled, his head hit the glass and gave him a concussion. He left the game. So the next time in Minnesota, we're doing a set breakout. The puck's not even anywhere close to me. I'm just circling below the circles, and he blows me up, like completely concusses me. The puck's still behind our own net in a set breakout. So like the game was just different, and you had to, I mean, that was when I learned, like, I don't care where I am or how close to puck I am. Like I have to know where guys are on the ice. Yeah. And it's probably the first time I truly started to take inventory as to like, how much time do I have? If I need to get out of the way, where am I going? You know? Yeah. And so that helped me offensively, I think, because I was always aware of where the opponent was.
Is that the guy that knocked out John Scott, Matt Johnson? Was that the guy, the little mole? Like,
no, he's the guy that he hit Jeff Bookaboom in the back of the head in L.A. one night, and kind of ended Bookaboom's career.
Jeez, who's the toughest guy you ever fought?
Nonetheless, scary.
Yeah, who's the toughest guy you ever fought?
Toughest I ever fought, probably Sean Thornton.
That was an interesting ordeal, right? You coming across, and obviously,
yeah, I mean,
like,
that's a whole other show.
Yeah. But like, if you can just touch on like, just going back there, like, I think the whole team was like nervous because we knew it was going to be an interesting game. Like, how did you just like, did you sleep the night before? Because you must have known, like, that whole city wanted to kill you, or like they hated you for what?
Yeah, I mean, I was, there was a wanted poster in the front page of the Boston Herald with Matt Cook's face on it. Like, The NHL flew in three security guards because they thought fans would do something. Wow. Godsey wouldn't let me leave the hotel without him, you know? Like, so there's this whole ordeal. But at the end of the day, when I hit Mark Savard in Pittsburgh, it was in the first period and nobody came. I didn't get a penalty and no one came to fight me. So now we go to Boston and this thing's been orchestrated. And my biggest fear was I didn't want anything to happen to Sid or Gino because I wouldn't fight. And I didn't, I actually felt like I shouldn't have had to fight. Like deep down inside, I was like, I mean, this is now premeditated. Like this is a joke, you know,
yeah.
Standing up for your teammates, one thing, having it be premeditated is another, right? But at the end of the day, not having Gino or Sid be targets was more important than me not fighting. And so I'd made a decision already I was going to fight. And when you go down the list of guys, like, or maybe you go up the list in guys,
especially there,
it was Thorts, Lucic, Chara. Like, I have no chance against Chara. Like, he's 6'7". I have no chance, you know. Luch, I actually, like, he's 6'3". Like, I kind of picked the smallest guy in Thorts, and he still had, you know, me by 25 pounds and 3 inches, right? So, and you know what? Lucky enough, like, it was a good fight. He got in what he felt he needed to. I didn't get hurt, so, you know, it all worked out.
Know what? Like, people don't realize the balls you have to have. I'm talking about you, to answer that bell. Like, knowing it's coming all day and saying, all right, let's go, and you square off. Because you guys squared off. There was some time where you guys spread out. Like, you must have been pretty excited to get that one over. Because, again, like, I was nervous for you. But that's, like, the set of balls that people think they're tough and people that are actually tough and answer the bell. I had so much respect for you for answering the bell like that. And you've always answered the bell, right? Like, you there was never times where you were in, like, no, not today, right? Because you answered the bell all the time. I want to get to another question because we don't have much time here. You went from playing with Ovechkin to playing with Sidney Crosby. What were some of the similarities? What were some of the differences from pretty much the two modern day GOATs that are at the end of their careers? What did you see the big difference in those two guys, or in what are the similarities?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, similarities are in their ability to bring a team along and lead a team. And in that statement is where their differences are, because they do it two totally different ways, right? Like, Ovi's this energetic guy that's just a ball of energy. Like, you see stuff on TV and you're like, well, that can't be him. That's not him all the time. That's a show for the TV. It's not a show. Like, he come to the rink on a Sunday morning, no one wants to be there. And this guy's hooting and hollering. You know, if he had a bottle of champagne, he'd have it spraying everybody. Like, that's just who he is. Like, he's this ball of energy that loves life, right? And Sid isn't different in that he doesn't love life, but, like, Sid's very, like, under control and reserved and focused on what he needs to do daily. And I used to be like, you're so friggin' superstitious. And he's like, I'm not superstitious at all. And I was like, how is that even possible? But his belief is he has a routine. And if he sticks to that routine, there's no reason for him not to be great. And if things start to go bad, he can change one or two things in his routine to help him then find greatness again. And so I respected his explanation of it. Like, oh, that makes sense to me. Now, later in life, he's superstitious as hell, but he's going to believe himself that it's a routine.
Matt, do you still have connections here in Pittsburgh? My understanding is that you have a couple, and do you still make it into town now and again?
Well, my son actually plays baseball for the University of Pittsburgh. So he's a catcher on the team.
Wow.
He was Yeah, so he played there last year. He kind of just hit in a pinch hit role, DH role last year. I think he'll get some reps at first base and catch this year a little bit more, get some more opportunity. But you know, last year for the University of Pittsburgh, he hit 6 home runs and some big ones actually. Hit some late innings, game tying, game winning home runs for them. So kind of fun that's where he's at.
Because Matt, when you were here, you used to hang around the baseball guys, right? Some of the baseball guys. Who were the guys? Was it McCutcheon?
Yeah, Neil Walker's still a really good friend of mine.
Okay, Neil is the guy.
You were a ball player growing up too, weren't you? Can you hit one out of PNC Park like Sid did that day?
Well, we would have, but someone else hit it out, and then our time was up, so we couldn't. You know.
No, that's. Did you ever have pressure? Like, did you ever want your son to play hockey, or you just let him kind of figure out what do you want to do? Because now I have a son and I'm like, oh, I want him to play hockey. And I feel like there's a little bit of pressure on him to play hockey. But for you, you know, again, you kind of let him take his path. But was he a hockey player at the start and then he just didn't like it? Or what was the story there? Because, again, his dad won a Stanley Cup. There's got to be a little bit of pressure to play hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there was ever pressure. I provided opportunity for him to do whatever sport it played. He played hockey and played part of the Timbits when we were living in Canada. And then when we were in Pittsburgh, he was part of the USA ADM program out in Wexford. But at the end of the day, a lot of his classmates didn't play hockey. They played baseball. And so he decided he wanted to play baseball. And I didn't care. Like, if he didn't love hockey, then why? We did it. At the level, like, he's under him, like, this has got to be him. And you know TK just as well as I do, like, when to make it as far as we did, there's days when it's not fun, it's not just a game, and it's hard work. And if you don't love it and you don't want it, like, you're not totally tied in yourself to it, you're just not going to do the level that you need to be successful. And so me forcing him to be hockey when he wanted to play baseball really didn't make any sense to me.
Matt, we appreciate the time, man. This was a great conversation, great stories. Tyler?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on. That last clip, I should clip it. It should be on the Post-Gazette for all the parents that have these youth hockey kids. You know, again, they want it more than their kid. Again, coming from a guy that's been around the block, his kids play something else. But, again, great advice, great stories, Matt. You got to let us know when you're in town watching your son play baseball or whenever you have time. We'd love to have you in. But, again, man, what a career. I'm glad you're doing
well. TK, my text me this morning.
Yeah.
The last text they have from you was me trying to start a podcast with you, and then you ghosted me. So
really?
Like.
Oh, you know. No,
oh, yeah. Go back and look at our text.
I know. I did.
Go back.
Hey, we can still do this. Because Newell's, imagine if it was me, you, and Kasparaitis.
You, him, and Stahl. Call the podcast The Third Line.
Oh, Stahl's still playing. It's like
Sesame Street line. Sesame Street line.
Oh, I have a great picture of my house. In my garage, I have me, Stahl, and Cook. And Matt's given it to us, and me and Stahl are like, we're like, what is he talking about? But
Love it.
Oh, we had some great times.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Cookie.
Good luck there.
I really appreciate being on.
I love you so much. I had named my daughter after you. Everyone thinks it's because of you, but it's Cookie.
But. See you, buddy.
All the best, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That was incredible, Tyler.
Oh, he's the best. Like,
you guys, again, based on that, you two should have a podcast together.
Yeah, like, I'd love to do. I got a lot of things going on, but I'd love to talk to these guys. Like, maybe we can talk later, but it would be fun to have
guys in the studio.
Yeah, have them in the studio, like, kind of do like a radio podcast where we talk to these guys and have guests. And
am I the last one to know that Matt Cook's kid is a catcher at Pitt? Did you know that?
I did not.
Did you? Well, you obviously did. Yeah. I didn't know. Should I have known? Have people written about this and talked about it?
Yeah, we got to get his son on and get some. We would go down to watch one of his games. But I always remember his son would always come into the dressing room with a baseball mitt and a glove. And we were like, and he'd always talk about Neil Walker living across the street. Is, you know, Neil would play, you know, play baseball with him. Neil's one of the salty earth best guys ever. That's Neil for you.
Is he a good golfer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like
way better than you.
Well, catch me on a good day. I'm pretty good. No, I think he's pretty
I saw you on a day. You know, you're better than me, but that doesn't mean you're good.
Yeah. You know, we had actually a golf outing. A couple of the alumni came out. Eric Tangredi. He's another guy that he's an Allegheny guy.
Yeah.
So is Neil Walker.
Oh, him and Neil golf together.
Yeah.
Don't
they're
they?
Both big yeah. hitters. They both like can play all. Even Jeff Carter, I heard, is getting really, really good at golf.
Do you know Gary Roberts? You played with Roberts here, didn't yep. you? He was out of his mind in a good way, wasn't he? You remember when he tried to fight the whole Senators team in the playoff game?
Oh, he's tough as nails. I remember walking out onto Mellon Arena, and I'd be right behind Gary Roberts, and he'd have a scar down his spine on his neck, and he couldn't move his neck that well, and he'd be like this, and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going into a war zone sitting behind this guy, because when the wires crossed, when he fought the guy on Philadelphia, I forget who it was, and he was coming in like shadow boxing. I was like in heaven. I was like, this is the NHL. This is old school. If that doesn't fire you up, fighting down, you know. But yeah, all those old
amazing.
Guys would be great. Oh yeah,
we have to go, Tyler. What a get that was by you. You're the first star of this game today.
I know. I'm wondering, like even like Ruslan Fedotenko, another one I'd like to get. I'm gonna see if
what happened with Flower. Just a no go. Too busy.
I kind of let him give him some time. I'm going to reach back out, but Pascal Dupuis would be another good one.
He'd be great.
Because his son's a stud. His son can play. His son's a really good hockey player.
Let's do that.
Or Kunitz, too. That'd be a great
guy. Yeah, what about Kunitz?
The Cooney man, yeah. Cooney. All.
What about Stalzi?
Skuderi. The only problem is...
Skuderi would be nice. Is he in Long Island? Where does he live?
Yeah. They're all like part of like different organizations, either player personnel, assistant GM. But the problem is the show is 10 to 11.
Yeah.
If they're part of a team, that's like the prime time for an NHL team to practice. And like,
then we'll adjust. You can come in at one on a given day or noon or 11.
I can talk to Stalzi. I'd love to have Stalzi. I miss those guys. I miss all those alumni guys.
See you, buddy. And congrats on the latest addition to your family. Little Cozy Kennedy. Is that right?
Cozy Kennedy. I got to go ask my wife if I'm allowed to have a nap today. It's probably a no, but.
How do you spell her name?
K-O-Z-I.
I love that name.
Precious.
Cozy Kennedy. Congrats, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.